Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
It is April 6th. I'm John Jeffers here at the Jeffers Brief, getting ready to give you some more important information that you need or that you require to survive, to prep today so you can live tomorrow. Now, a lot of you listeners live in the urban environment, either in the city or perhaps in the metropolitan area of a big city, the collar counties, if you would. So this is going to be for you. You know, you need to know or have survival skills for when you're living in a heavily built-up urban area. So I found this, and I want to give it to you because this is important stuff. And you know me, I always like to give credit where credit's due. An urban survival site had this posted, and I thought, you know what? I need to share this with my listeners. Got to share it with you because it's that important. You know, major cities may still only take up a small portion of the landmass of the United States, but they're nevertheless home to over 80% of the population. With this being the case, the odds of being caught in the concrete jungle when disaster strikes are, you know, quite high. Of course, the survival skills necessary to navigate a city during a disaster, whether it's a major disaster such as a foreign attack or a personal disaster such as a robbery, are quite different from the skills many preppers may be accustomed to. So if you'd like to ensure that you can take whatever the concrete jungle has to throw at you, we're going to give you 9 skills that you need to know, that you need to have. Number one is lock picking. Now, if you decide to do something illegal with this, that's on you. Don't be saying, well, CRN told me to come do this. No. I'm saying you need to know the skill should your life depend on it. So, number one is lockpicking. You know, the trademark, big cities, is lots of buildings. Lots of buildings means lots of locks. Now, in normal circumstances, these locks may be an afterthought. However, in a disastrous scenario, being able to get past them could mean the difference between life and death, like I told you. So brush up on your lockpicking skills. Invest in a good portable lockpicking kit. In the right situations, these things could prove incredibly valuable. Number two, we've talked about this, blending in or being the gray man. So how do you hide where there are thousands, if not millions of eyes everywhere you turn? The answer is that you have to hide in plain sight. So the art of blending in is one that is really underappreciated. However, in an urban area, it is often the best way to ensure you are not the target of whatever catastrophe is taking place. Now, martial law officials, foreign invaders, desperate scavengers, and more of all more likely to target someone who catches their attention for any reason at all. So in these scenarios, it is best just to be another indistinguishable face in the crowd. Number three, self-defense. Look, if you don't intend to carry a weapon on you during your visit to the city or whether you're living there, it's a great idea to have a few self-defense skills that you can rely on. That is, open-handed self-defense techniques, martial arts, if you will. Of course, in the vein of blending in, physical confrontation should be avoided if at all possible. If you do have to defend yourself, though, for whatever reason, you need to make sure that you have what it takes to come out on top. Number four, scavenging. One great thing about urban areas is that there's no shortage of materials and supplies available if you know where to look and you have an eye for making use of the unordinary. Scavenging is more of a mindset than it is a skill that is taught. You just need to keep your eyes open and develop a bit of creative talent for repurposing what you find into something useful. Number five, and we've talked about this many times here in the Contra Radio Network, is situational awareness. Now, when you're surrounded by people There's often a lot to take in and process. This is especially true in hectic situations such as after disaster. Now, with that said, develop an acute situational awareness and the ability to take in everything going on around you is one of the best ways to ensure your survival in an urban area. This starts with really tuning in your focus to your surroundings and trusting your instincts above all else. What they're talking about, and some of you know what I mean. You look at something, you know something's not right, something's out of place. You can't put your finger on it. You can't articulate, but you just know. At that point, there should be a voice going off in your head screaming at you, or bells, alarms, whistles, something going off in your head that's saying, something ain't right, and I don't like this. And instead of standing there trying to figure it out, you need to act then and there. So, in many cases, this type of situational awareness can help you escape dangerous situations before they ever develop. Number 6, navigation. You know, too many people are completely reliant on their GPS when it comes to navigating an urban area. However, if those GPSs ever stop working, there are going to be a lot of people who are lost and in trouble. To avoid being one of them, take the time to learn the area you're visiting and get comfortable with the idea of navigating it without any technological aid. Here's an idea: buy a map that you can bring with you and memorize a few escape routes just in case you lose it. If things go south, these navigation skills could be the difference between getting out quickly and getting caught wandering around a maze of concrete and steel. Number 7, let's escaping a riot, which could happen. The middle of a major riot in an urban area is not a place where you want to be under any circumstances. Case in point, think back to the LA riots, for example, of how dangerous these riots can become and how quickly they can spiral out of control. Of course, escaping a riot isn't nearly as simple as walking away. If it were, there would be far fewer innocent, bystanders who die in the chaos. Before you visit a major city, take the time to research the best way to escape a riot in case you are caught up in one. There's lots of great information out there about this designed to help you get out of the middle of a riot as quickly as possible. You follow me? You know what I mean? All right. And so, before I forget, let's go back real quick to navigation. You can go on eBay or wherever. I personally prefer if you would go to Amazon. I'll even post a link, a purchase link. Because CRN is an affiliate of Amazon, you buy there, I get a small percentage of the sale. It doesn't cost you anything extra. But get a military-grade Lensatic compass. Learn to use it. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about, perhaps doing a video on how to use a Lensatic compass. That's kind of where I'm going. Hey, dog. The dog came in the studio. He's a good boy. All right. Number 8, communication skills. Urban area means a lot. Urban areas mean lots of people. And knowing how to deal with people when necessary is an important survival skill. If you can develop a knack for communicating with people, talking them down from violent situations, and reading their intentions based on what they do and say, and their nonverbal cues, that's something else we might be able to do a show on, nonverbal cues, you'll have a much easier time navigating the often complex and sometimes dangerous human interactions that take place after a disaster has struck. Number 9, driving. So, if you think driving through a big city under normal circumstances is a nightmare, imagine what it would be like to drive through one during or immediately after a major disaster. Of course, many times driving anywhere in these scenarios won't be a possibility. In a situation where everyone is trying to get out, traffic jams can quickly shut the entire road system down in the city. They're just going to shut it down. For example, in Chicago, you got rush hour in the morning, rush hour in the evening. And you also, to some extent, on the Friday and Saturday nights, rush hour is going back into the city. And I'll tell you, you know, they've got 5, 6, 7, 8 lanes, and they're jammed. Traffic's moving at 2, 3 miles an hour. It's that crazy, which is why I hate going into the city, period. I don't like doing it. All right, that's another story. However, if you got out early enough, and there's been time for the, or, you know, or there's been time for the dust to settle, you may be able to effectively escape the city in your vehicle. Assuming, of course, you have the driving skills necessary to navigate a major city during heavy traffic congestion and highly stressful situations. You know, that brings me back. Perhaps you've seen the, what the hell is it? You've seen some of, when they first started doing The Walking Dead. Like the first two seasons, they'd show a graphic, and it would be Rick on horseback, riding the horse on an interstate, which is completely devoid of vehicles as he's going towards Atlanta. And then you got the retaining wall, and then on the other side of the retaining wall, you got all the cars that are just, you know, ran out of gas, or you know, you are stalled out or parked there or whatever, just jammed up on that side. So, you know, that's kind of what brings us to it. So you may not be able to get out on the interstate system. In fact, I would suggest avoiding it entirely. And if you can, take, you know, the back roads out if possible. You may not be able to do that. But again, you know, to have the driving skills to navigate a major city during heavy traffic congestion and highly stressful situations, you gotta have that skill, guys. It's certainly no easy feat, but like anything else, it can be learned. And by the way, make sure you don't need to have a good vehicle, you need to have a reliable vehicle. A few years ago, I'll say 8, 9, maybe 10 years ago, I bought my first pickup truck. I will never go back to any other vehicle other than a pickup truck. And I'm not talking about an SUV either. I'm really not. Excuse me. I'm not talking about an SUV. I'm talking about a pickup truck. First of all, it's made to be driven off-road in rough terrain. It's made to carry things. You could put a lot of things in the bed of the truck that you will not get into an SUV. You know, everybody says, well, I got an SUV. You know, okay, so great. You got your Ford whatever. You got your Lexus whatever. Are you really going to take that vehicle off the road? Do you really trust it to go down some of these roads even today with some of the potholes and everything else? No. What you do is you see people dodging. They're dodging the potholes or trying to, you know, it's crazy. Now, when I have my pickup truck, I don't care if I go into a pothole or not, because it's made for that. The suspension is made for that. It could be done. But I'm not going to tell you what kind of vehicle you should have. I'm just telling you what I have. So think about that. All right. I also want to talk to you tonight, or today, this afternoon, whatever, depending on where you are when you're listening to this. I think it is incumbent upon us that we teach our kids how to react to an active shooter. Yes, we're tired of hearing about it. Yes, they're trying to grab the guns. Yes, you can teach your kids how to react to an active shooter. And I want to tell you something. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to catch hell for it. I don't care. Do not. Do not. And I've told this to my daughter when she was growing up, because we had the active shooters when she was in school. But one of the things that I always told her, I said, you get out of that building. I don't care how you do it. I said, do not. I said, the teacher's going to shut the door and lock it. I said, hiding is not going to work. If you remember back to the Virginia Tech shootings about 10, 15 years ago, they did just that. They did everything they were told to do. They shut the door, they locked the door, they turned the lights off, and they hid in the room. That didn't fool the shooter. He got into the room. Because every class room has a glass door or glass pane in the door. He shot through it, reached in there, unlocked the door. He got through it, went in the classroom and shot everybody. Hello? So what I told my daughter, and the reason I found this article, it's dated September 24th, 2014. It's by Pat Henry. I don't want to do one that was too recent because I think hindsight, enough time hasn't passed that people can actually rationally think about some of these things. But being in the school isn't always a place of, you know, you can be an active shooter. We saw what happened at Pulse. It has happened at shopping malls. It happened at concerts. An active shooter can happen anywhere there are a lot of people. A lot of targets. A target-rich environment. But getting back to what I told my daughter, in fact, this is something else I did too. If you go to Amazon and you want, and I will post the link for you guys, just get a hold of me on the CRN Facebook page. I will post it there for you. I will post the link on the CRN website, ContraRadioNetwork.us, ContraRadioNetwork.us. You can buy these from Amazon. It's a backpack with a ballistic panel, a Kevlar ballistic panel. Now, this is it. This is important. This is how the Kevlar works. And I told my daughter, I said, you're going to have to put this on because when you go for the run, you're going to have it on your back. You must. I said, you can't sling it over one shoulder. You got to have it both arms so that backpack is against your back. And she said, well, why is that, Dad? And I said, because then that will stop the round, the bullet. Now, and I told her, I said, it's still going to knock you down. It's going to hurt. But you won't be... You'll be shot, but you're not going to be dead. You'll have a nasty bruise. You'll hurt. It will hurt like hell. And it may even burn a bit. But that's what to expect. It may even knock the breath out of you. If that's the case, I told you, just lay down there. First, don't try to move. Just lay down. Don't panic. Your breath will come back. Just got to give it a few seconds. It's going to seem like hours. Sit back, relax as much as you can, and then you'll feel the breath. You know, don't start, you know, panicking trying to breathe in because you can't. I said, as soon as all the breath has left your lungs, it will come back in again. Don't panic. It is very easy, especially for kids who've never experienced that sensation of having the wind knocked out of you. So, and I also told her, I said, if you get stuck in a classroom, and if you're possible, break a window, get out of that building. I said, I don't care if you're up on the second floor or whatever. If you break a leg when you jump out, so what? You'll survive that. I said, we can live with that, but you'll be alive with it. I said, get the hell out of that building. Do not sit there and try to play hide and seek with this guy. Her next question, Dad, I've never heard shooting before. And this is before I took her to the range. And then it was right about then I realized I got to take her to the range so she can understand what it sounds like. And so I said, the best way to describe it, it's loud pops. It's not a boom like you see on TV. They're loud pops. It will sound like firecrackers, maybe it's a little bit higher than a firecracker, and you'll hear it go pop, 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 pop. You'll hear that. That's what it is. It's not a firecracker. That's somebody that's having a mental breakdown and is deciding that they want to hurt people. So let me go through this because it's important, guys. And I want your kids and your grandchildren to also understand it, to be cognizant. And you can start teaching them. It's never too late to start teaching these kids now about how to do this. But listen, this was written in 2014. It says there's been some time that has passed since the latest mass shooting. And although the news of yesterday of a recently fired UPS worker killing two of his coworkers and eventually himself reminds us that life is sometimes deadly. As a prepper, as well as a strong advocate of the rights guaranteed by our Second Amendment, one of the things that I prepare for is a situation where a nut is going around killing innocent people. Be some terrorist, mentally deranged person, someone under the influence of psychotropic drugs, or like in Alabama, someone with a grudge who simply does not care anymore. You could say all these types of people have one thing in common, regardless of the motivation. They simply want to kill people. They want to hurt people. So there was, has, and will always be people who want to kill for one reason or another. To deny that is to deny human nature, so arguing about methods to make innocent people safer while at the same time preventing them from protecting themselves is to remain willfully ignorant about the reality of the issue. Bad people will always be around in one shape or another, and they will endeavor to do bad things no matter what the rules are, period. Now, I for one strongly believe that the best way to stop a bad man with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And that's why we have concealed carry, hopefully. That's what we got to what the police do when they engage some nutcases like this with lethal force. The killers always stop. Usually, they kill themselves first, but they do stop killing others in most cases when they are confronted. What went down at Parkland? I gotta tell you guys, when it first broke, I have not heard anything since then. The deputies responding were told to hold up, do not go in. Now, that flies in the face of everything I was trained for. In every other police department I know of in my county, municipal departments, and other departments around the state adopted the philosophy of you must engage immediately. You cannot wait for the tactical team or the SWAT team. You get there, you go to war, period. You go in there and you know what? Others, you got help. The cavalry's coming, but you may be the first there. And you may be on your own for 5 to 10 minutes, depending on how far away people are. But the cavalry's coming, so you better get your ass in there. And you better go to war, because you got to stop this guy. Or girl. It makes no difference. Because when they see someone else with a firearm that's coming at them, guess what? They're going to stop shooting at the other people, and they may, and you know, shoot at the good guy. Or they may stop and decide, you know, okay, I'm done, and they sit there and eat a bullet. God willing, that's perfect. Because then I don't care why he did it. I don't care what sympathetic story he had. Lots of people have sympathetic stories. They don't go out killing people. They don't. I don't care about that. If he wants to kill himself, excellent. Do it. Saves the taxpayers, money on prison and money on a trial and a defense lawyer. Because let's face it, these lunatics don't have money for a lawyer, so taxpayers got to pick up the tab for that too. It's much better. I'd rather pick up the tab to have him shot and say, here's the body. Give it back to his family. You fucking deal with him. So, anyways. This isn't a debate about guns or the Second Amendment. It's a conversation about what I want to share with your children, you, and you can share with your children. Should they find themselves in a situation where some psycho with a gun or a knife, an axe, a machete, a sharp stick, a baseball bat, hedge clippers is in a location where they are and the psycho starts trying to injure people. This isn't what you who may be a concealed carry holder are to do in a situation with a psychopath. It is what the unarmed can do to get out of the situation and have a fighting chance at survival. And here you go. This is what kids are going to ask. What do gunshots sound like? They know what it sounds like on TV. He says, let me ask you. Have you been outside during hunting season and you heard the gunshots from a distance and wonder what was going on? You know what's going on. If you live in some areas, gunshots are common, but they can have a completely different meaning depending on where you are. For example, if you're on the south side of Chicago and you hear gunshots everybody's figuring somebody's getting shot at, time to get the hell out of Dodge or get down. That's true. Now compare that where I live, which is not vastly more rural than a big city, but we hear gunshots. It just means someone's selling a new scope, practicing with a new handgun they'd purchased, or, you know, hunting. I live by the chain of lakes. They do duck hunting all the time. The important thing is for your children to be able to recognize the sound of a gunshot wherever they are so they'll be ready to act should they need to. Even out in the country, people can go crazy, so that gunshot you might hear, it still might mean you need to escape shortly. If nothing else, it should be something you should pay attention to, right? Now, kids. You may have kids of all age ranges, right? You know, my daughter, I've taken her to the range. She's fired different weapons. And that's okay. I suggest you take your kids to the shooting range. Let them hear it. Let them see it. Take the mystery and fear out of it. All right. No, you got to know your surroundings. This is probably the hardest thing for your children to learn to pay attention to unless they are in a very familiar environment. But know where the exits are and how to get out of a building in more than one way is important. You get an active shooter in the building that you're in. Do you know how to get out? If the shooter is between you and one exit, do you have a backup or alternate exit to go? In a life or death scenario, and assuming you aren't in a high rise, would you bust out a window and go out that way? That's what I told my daughter. Now, panic. This is true for everybody. It doesn't have to be a child. It's true for everybody. Panic is probably the hardest to overcome in a situation where there is someone shooting people and coming your way. But having some conversations about where they would go and what they would do if is faced with certain obstacles help kids think about this potential situation before they are faced with it. It's called thinking it through. It's a mental exercise. Just the exercise of talking through what they would do gives kids some perspective they can draw on in a crisis situation. I tell my kids to do whatever it takes to get out of the building. That's what I told my daughter. And if that means busting a window, I'll pay for it. Gotta steal a car, I'll bail them out of jail. Whatever it takes to stay alive. And they have to know you are going to back them up when that happens. That's the truth of the matter. Now, run, get out, hide only as a last resort. You know, dads out there, we've all chased our kids around the house playing with them. And you still do sometimes, but it isn't anywhere near as fun. The youngest child would always run some distance, but when I got close, you know, she'd hit the ground, curl up, waiting for me to tickle her. I had always tried to get her to keep running because I want her to run until she couldn't run anymore if her life depended on it. Get it? It's a physical training class without them knowing it. I know with me she felt safe getting caught, but I want her to know that wasn't an option if she was running from a bad guy or a zombie or whatever. We use zombies all the time to discuss the end of the world situations because they are more fun to a kid than some of the realities of that, you know, us older people are used to. If my children are anywhere, they hear gunshots, they are taught to run and get out of the building or location. They are as fast as possible. Like I said, do whatever it takes to get out. The faster, the better. Now, a lot of schools will say, go into the classroom, lock the door, turn out the lights. What? That is not a strategy. And I can't agree more with the writer of this article. I can't. No, you run out of the building so the bad guy won't be able to break or shoot out the lock and walk in the room and kill everyone hiding under their desk, because that's what happened at Virginia Tech. Even if they don't break down the door, I think that also happened at, was it Newtown? I think that was it. I was getting crazy here. It's a good thing I stopped. I said, even if they don't break down the door, you are trapped inside of there between you and safety. I even tell my kids to run no matter what their teachers say. If their teachers say they're supposed to hide under their desk, I tell them to run out. Go away from their shooter and get out of the building. Even the Department of Homeland Security, when discussing what to do in an active shooter scenario, recommends, quote, if there is an accessible escape path, attempt to evacuate the premises, end quote. In short, get out! That's what they're talking about. Cover versus concealment. Okay, you got to teach the kids this. They teach it in the military. You can teach kids this. It's real simple. Teach them the difference between cover and concealment. If you don't know, let us know on the CRN Facebook page. We'll define it for you. There's two definitions that mean two different things. Real simple. Concealment means you can hide yourself, but it won't. But it may or may not be enough to stop a bullet. Cover means you're behind a solid object that could very well stop a bullet, but it may not hide you. Got it? There. That's a simple definition. Now, hopefully, none of our children or any children will ever have to face a situation in which an active shooter is attacking people where they are. My hope is that happens, I am with them. If I am not with them, I hope they'll do everything they can to get out before they are harmed. Do your children know what to do? Guys, this is so important, especially this day and age. Oh, this is good. This is written by Pat Henry. And Pat, if you're listening, I can't agree with you more. I cannot agree with you more, my friend. And he wrote this, he writes for the Prepper Journal. So I just wanted to put it out there, guys. I think it's that important. All right. We're almost at the end of the show here for the podcast for Friday. Give you something to listen to on your way home. One thing I wanted to explain to you, if you could, please. Hey, guys, become a Patreon. Go to patreon.com, look up Contrario Network, throw in $2 a month. That's what I'm asking. $2 a month from the listeners. That's what I'm asking. If you want to throw in more, I'm humble and grateful for it, and I want to say thank you ahead of time. It helps me pay for all the stuff that you guys like about this show. And it comes every month. So if you like it, great. Give me a hand with it. Look, I got a pension. I don't need it to live on, but it's nice to have a little bit of extra to help pay for the stuff. You know, I know you guys like it. You guys wouldn't be listening to it. By the way, CRN broke into Iceland yesterday. Never had any listeners in Iceland or in Colombia. So, yeah, the word's starting to get out. Pass the word. Also, on the video, hey, guys, some of you guys that are friends with me on the Facebook page, I messaged you the video. Reason being, share it with your friends. Just put a quick note on there, and it just says, you know what? I saw this video. I thought it was kind of neat. I liked it, wanted to share it with you. All it does is it plants the seed, the idea that maybe they should be preppers and they should start listening to Contra Radio Network. There. All you got to do is plant the seed. Whether it takes or not, well, that's another story. And we can't control that. But it sure as hell doesn't hurt to have that. Oh, by the way, the state of Ohio has become the biggest listener to CRN, and I think that has to do with Rob Alderucci. I think he has something to do with that. We got more downloads coming from the state of Ohio than I do from my own state, or even Texas for that matter. So, with that said, let me end this because I know a lot of you guys are going to be traveling. I want to get out there because a lot of you are going to be coming home on the rush hour. You need something to listen to, and I wanted to share that with you. So, my prepper and patriot friends out there, I say to you this. Be safe, be alert, be vigilant. Prep today, live tomorrow. There you go. There it is. This is John Jeffers saying thank you for listening. I appreciate downloading and sharing the program. Have a good one.